from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number four. 2 hours to go here, full show tonight. You'll have the Get Right coming up from 7 to 11. Fred's already in the house throwing heat, getting ready for his broadcast. Again, coming up at 7 o'clock. LA Live with Lucius at 5:40. The Get Right starts in about 17 minutes from right now. Here's the Chief with an edition of the finest.
All right, 877-881-1053. I know the big news of the day, of course, is CeeDee Lamb re-upping with the Cowboys. He gets the fatty boom-bah, $100 million guaranteed, 4 years, $136, $34 per year. But Brandon Ayuk is still a contract that we are waiting to get done. We'll see if he can come in over the top of what CeeDee Lamb just got. But I think bigger in San Francisco right now is Trent Williams. He's been holding out all camp long, and the reports are he is not going to be returning to the Niners until his contract situation is resolved. He might be the guy, Broadus, that's willing to miss a game or two.
There you go.
As a veteran player, he's made plenty of money to this point, and he is, I mean, just about as valuable as any non-quarterback in the sport. And so that's a huge one. That's a huge storyline to watch here for the Niners. They have not come to any sort of agreement. And Ayuk, again, has been getting the headlines. But that's the big one right there. So yeah. See how much that hurts him.
I can't imagine that Ayuk is getting over 32. You know, I
agree.
I'm thinking, man, if I'm the 49ers here, you know, I'm well within my rights evaluating this thing to feel like, well, if he wants – you know, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown type of money, then we're trading this guy. You know, I think it's a tough world that these players live in where they see the production, they know their value, and they want it. They know a team is willing to give it to them. But, you know, you just can't, you know, think that I'm the number two guy and I deserve to get paid like a number one. I feel bad for the Niners in this spot.
You kind of feel like, though, that maybe Ayuk is in the situation. They tried to trade him earlier. Remember, he didn't want to go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go to New England.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking, well, okay, you're going to circle back. Maybe it's best that I don't leave this place. I think Brandon Ayuk, I think he's, I believe the 49ers are holding all the leverage here.
This thing's got to come in very team friendly.
Yeah, this is going to come in because he didn't want to go to these other places. And now what do you want us to do? Wait a minute. We tried to trade you. You didn't want to go. They were going to pay you, you know, they were going to pay you somewhere between $28 and probably $32 million, and you didn't want to go. So what do you want us to do? All right, we'll give you $28 million. You want to call that a day, or you know, here we are. You know, and so the Trent Williams one is that's a fascinating one because you look at it, he has gotten better. I mean, he's a veteran guy, but every single year it seems like he gets a little bit even better than what you would thought from the previous year.
I know you haven't seen the decline despite the age.
No. Remember, we always like to watch those breakdowns of him just pancaking guys during a game.
Just planting people deep into the soil.
Yeah. It's just – so that one to me, if I was the 49ers, and they've got a little bit of an interesting problem too, because of, you know, with their draft pick, that's not, you know, he's got the shoulder problem at receiver. So, you know, Ayuk, they might be a little bit of a bind there, but I kind of feel like, though, if I'm focusing in on this Trent Williams one, any extra money I have, I think I'm looking at Trent Williams.
Absolutely.
I'm not Brandon Ayuk. I'm sorry.
We're fine without Ayuk. We cannot get this done without Trent Williams.
Yeah, Ricky Pearsall is the guy I mentioned that they drafted that's got the shoulder problem. I talked to Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network. He does the for the Chargers. He's the color guy. And I go, hey, did you know anything about this Pearsall injury, you know, the shoulder problem coming into the draft? He goes, no, man, not at all. And that's a plugged-in guy. So, you know, as far as injuries and things like that, he says, no, I had no idea that was even a story. And now we're hearing about it. It might be more significant. And that was, who was going to replace Brandon Ayuk. And then he had a hamstring problem. Now he's got the shoulder problem. This is just looking like this might be the thing that you're talking about, Dawson. How do you catch up with the 49ers? All these cap problems. And then start missing on some draft picks.
Yeah.
And now the roster is not as good as it once was.
Well, it looks like the Packers have traded a 7th-round pick to the Titans for quarterback Malik Willis.
How about that?
Liberty's own, a 3rd-round pick in 2022, and now Willis will be the backup to Jordan Love. I think the backup quarterback situation for the Packers was pretty bad. So they now get a young guy with still some upside, and we know the patience that the Packers are willing to have with their quarterbacks there. So Malik Willis actually looked halfway decent in some of these preseason games, but they got Will Levis, so they make the move right there. So you'll have Willis now in Green Bay backing up Jordan Love. We also have in around the NFL stuff, I mean, Drake May looked pretty dang good yesterday, once again, preseason game number 3. Mm-hmm. He was bad in the first one, better in the second one, probably better in the third one there yesterday versus the Commanders. He goes 13 of 20, 143 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. He had a 3rd-and-14 scramble for a first down when he was backed up on his own end. So he's definitely looking better, but he was at the top of the list of guys that you expected to probably not start at first, slow play him a little bit. He's a bit raw. And needs a little bit of the coaching up, and they have Jacoby Brissett there to be sort of that veteran bridge quarterback, and everybody was anticipating him being the starting quarterback to start this season, but now Drake May's playing the way he's playing, but you have Jerod Mayo, who is now replacing Bill Belichick. He's a rookie head coach, and you have him over the weekend saying, Drake May is the second best quarterback on our roster right now. So he's like, we still believe Brissett's the best guy. But then the very next day, he's on the radio and he says, at this current point, Drake May has outplayed Jacoby. So one day he says Drake May is the second best quarterback in camp. The next day, it's Drake's outplayed Jacoby. So now everybody's like, okay, well, then there's no point in sitting Drake May if he's better anyways. And so now I don't know what the heck the Patriots are going to do. And I'm sure Jerod Mayo would like to have that one back as a rookie head coach.
Yeah.
He's crossing up the signals here. So maybe
they were really close.
Maybe
had a hell of a night.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but their offensive line is scary enough that I don't know that I would want to throw Drake May behind it right now. You know, I mean, that is such they're so bad. And sometimes you're like, man, is it worth throwing your rookie quarterback out there behind an offensive line that looks like that? Got next to nothing from a skill player standpoint. Like Kendrick Bourne is wide receiver 1. I'm like, man, you're just asking to get your rookie quarterback tore up.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like some of these guys are good enough that they can save a situation, but I definitely believe that waiting until you have a more stable environment around them is going to pay if you can afford to wait. And I think they can with Brissett. That's a certifiable like solid vet.
There were people talking about with Joe Milton there. And, you know, they were saying, Joe Milton looks good. He looks like one of the better, you know, better than Brissett, better than May, some of the early, you know, camp practices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He was like 5 of 17 against the Commanders. And you're like, nah.
He doesn't know how to do anything but rip the ball in there. Like he wants to throw it 60 yards every single time.
You know, I'm kind of this, I don't think it would wreck Drake May to play. I don't think it would. Just go ahead and play him. You know, I mean, what do you?
Oh, maybe you're right.
No. I just, you know, and that this is where they need to reevaluate again the Brandon Ayuk thing. You know, are we willing to go up a little more? Do you call the 49ers or you're like, no, let them call you? I don't know. I just You got to.
Well,
get
that was a Brandon.
Help.
That was Brandon Ayuk not wanting that deal.
Right.
Maybe you say, "Hey, we'll give you even more money.
We'll give you more money. Yeah, we'll give you more money to come here
to help our young quarterback.
He's going to need somebody. I am not a Drake May fan, but if you're going to play him, get him some help. You know, find a way. I mean, Elliot Wolf, you know, who I've known for a long, long time. Elliot needs to be super aggressive claiming guys off the waiver wire. He can make his team better on the second draft if he can find some offensive linemen. Maybe there's some skill guys. Maybe there's a little bit better running back situation out there. You know, but he can. Elliot understands he's going to have to get his guys some help.
Seeing ghosts is a real thing, and I think you're setting your guy up to be conditioned to see ghosts. If you put him out there with nobody open in a collapsing pocket,
yeah,
just wait. Keep practicing.
Just take the lumps and have the first overall pick.
I think so. Yeah. I'm gonna keep my asset on his feet and in a good mental state until we can, you know, get him some help.
Right. Or at least wait till the end of the season.
Or wait till it's out of reach.
It's like five games of that instead of 17.
Give him the month of December.
Yeah, maybe. I would be interested in that, but I wouldn't feel the need to throw him in there right now. Behind that offensive line, I just don't think it's probably
not going to get better. But
no, it's probably not.
Like I say, Elliott has got to find a way to be super aggressive in this cutdown. If the Patriots aren't claiming guys, I would be shocked. There's a way in the second draft you can make your team better with some guys.
We have a reunion in Kansas City. The Chiefs have signed Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
To play some wide receiver for them after he wasn't good enough to play for this crappy Patriots roster that we're just discussing. And some are pointing to the fact like maybe this is an indication that they know the Rashee Rice suspension is coming and maybe it's a little bit longer than they were anticipating it being or something. Yeah. I don't know. That's just speculation. But
let me tell you what. This is the experience that I've had in the league. They'll never tell you these things. And then on the final cutdown, you'll get the waiver wire and they've got a block of all the suspensions that happen. And Rashee Rice will miss 6 games due to conduct detrimental. They will never say a word until it gets down to the final cut. And then you're like, that guy's getting suspended. Mm. You know, you'll see it. You'll see it as they'll report all those guys. And they won't announce it, but they'll announce it on that waiver wire to the other teams.
I mean, Schuster with 80 catches for 933 in 2022. I bet there's a chance just put him in a different environment. His attitude is different. He's up against the other team's third and fourth best corners. I think there's a role for him in Kansas City.
They had a problem in Kansas City with some of them cats not knowing where to line up. He knows how to line up and go play. And there were some guys, there was a lot of confusion about, you're supposed to be here. No, there. They had some struggles with that, and he knows the drill, and they know him. I think this was more about, hey, give us a guy that at least understands how to play this game and that understands what we're trying to do every week.
The Chargers had an elevator nightmare here in Dallas over the weekend. 15 players and personnel alike stuck in an elevator for upwards of 2 hours. Did you guys see the Jim Harbaugh quotes on this?
Mm-mm.
He's just so fantastic. He's the gift that keeps on giving in terms of just his quotes at the microphone. He's such a football guy, competitive guy. He can't help himself but to spin everything into a football conversation. And so when describing it, he was not on the elevator, but he says it was a shared experience. 11 or 12 of our players were there for about 2 hours. He says it brought them closer together. I just missed out on being on that elevator. I wish I could have been there with those guys. He says, you get in those situations, and it's a test of wills. I was proud of each of the guys and the two women that were on that elevator. That's a win. Yeah. You feel good about yourself. You were challenged. It was a test of will, and you pull it down or you pull it in. And then he talked about Herbert because Justin Herbert was part of the squad. He says, Justin Herbert's a leader. He was a rock, kept everybody calm, and everybody kept their poise. He says, and it was hot in there as each person came off the elevator sweating and some had their shirt off. So dudes were taking their shirt off in this elevator.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Just an awful place to find yourself.
Yeah.
He says, Justin Herbert, his hair was a little wet, but his shirt was completely dry. That was another thing that blew me away.
Wow. Cool under pressure.
You know what?
Yeah. I guess that's the point he's trying to make here.
Well, you think Harbaugh might have had something to do with the elevator getting jacked up? Like, he's like, I'm going to test my guys here.
Yeah, just throwing adversity their way.
Yeah, he's down there in the engineering department of the hotel. Like, hey, listen, can you, like, car number 3, can you, like, make it not work? you know, flip a switch.
See
or
how
something.
These guys handle it.
Yeah.
And this is the same Justin Herbert, cool, calm, and collected. He's the same Justin Herbert who surrendered maybe the biggest halftime halftime deficit in playoff history in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So I don't know how true that is. I'm a Herbert guy, though, and maybe he's come around. Maybe he is a little bit more clutch now.
Well, he could definitely improve in that department, that's for sure. Mm. Man, that sounds terrifying, though. I think being in a crowded elevator as the temperature is rising might make me pass out.
I'll tell you what, something worse happened. I don't know if you saw this on the socials. Was there was a riot, a Six Flags riot in Mexico, where people were suspended in the air, trapped on a ride, and a windstorm and a rain, peltering rain. They couldn't get them down.
Were they upside down?
They were hanging. They were sitting down with legs dangling, getting peltered by rain and wind up there. They couldn't get them down.
Oh, my God.
That would be my absolute worst night. Above the ground, like, you know, 100 feet above the ground, and you're up there blowing around. And
we reminds 250 me of, feet
reminds
the
me of being on
that
somebody's.
That's where they were?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
terrifying.
Geez. Oh,
I could tell you some stories about night skiing on a chairlift where they lose power.
Yeah.
And you're facing like 30-mile-an-hour winds sleet peltering your face.
Oh.
Or pelting. Peltering.
Peltering. All of it. That's a nightmare situation, though, that you just described.
Dude, yes. Enough to make you reconsider your amateur skiing career, I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. It's time to hit the expressway. We'll recap a monster day for the Cowboys, then get you to LA Live coming up at 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get styled. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We're 15 minutes now from LA Live with Lucius Alexander. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And the Expressway is presented by the On-Time Experts. Yeah, about an hour or so before the show today, we got the breaking news that CeeDee Lamb has been rewarded with a new contract for his amazing football playing. He gets 4 years, $136 million, 100 of it guaranteed, a $38 million a signing bonus, second biggest guarantee ever, most signing bonus. So congrats to him. He's got an injection of liquidity there. Any clear winner or loser on this contract, gentlemen? Winner or loser here, or just you think pretty much?
The girl that tried to snatch CD's phone from him on draft day? Definitely the loser today.
She learned. She learned a lesson.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I did see that video today recirculating. It was kind of nice to see that again.
You got to play your part.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I could see those eyes, too.
Yeah.
He was upset.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I do think that, I mean, CeeDee Lamb definitely wins here. If the reports are true that they were asking for $34 million annually, and that's exactly what he got, then he definitely won. And I guess the way the Cowboys win is they're not completely resetting the market for a guy who is good enough to warrant that. So that is somewhat of a win, but ultimately you waited a long time to do what you could have done a while back, you know, months ago, and then you could have had him in camp and everything like that. And maybe that doesn't really matter. Maybe it's actually you spin it like, well, now Cooks has better rapport with Dak and Tolbert has better rapport with Dak and all of those things. So maybe that ends up being a positive. But CeeDee Lamb definitely wins here because he got exactly what he wanted.
Yeah, the Cowboys win too, though, in the fact that they got him done before the season started. And they got him in time to be able to have practices. You know, they have several practices with him and kind of get him, you know, the if whoever you're following with your reports and stuff that CD's been kind of keeping up with the team, the installations, the things like that through his pad. You know, everything he's been doing, that part of it's been taken care of. It's the physical on the field part that he's missed, and we'll see how that all plays out. But they do have some practices to get him, you know, acclimated or back into the system. I think he and Dak, I know I've been answering some Twitter questions about that. I don't think he and Dak are going to have a problem. I really, really don't. I really do believe in my heart that this is the one guy you can give the contract to, and it's going to pay off for you in the end.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that part of it, it's a win for CD. It's a win for the Cowboys to have one of the top wide receivers.
No doubt.
For their quarterback. You know, that we kind of talk about what's going on with Drake May and guys like that in New England. Got nobody to throw the ball to. Well, you got guys to throw the ball to here.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about Tolbert. He got better in the practice. You talk about a guy that a win for the Cowboys was they did figure out that Tolbert can show some toughness, can be that guy, can be the third guy. You know, Cooks is Cooks, but they need somebody to step up behind Cooks, and Tolbert could be that guy as well. And Ferguson, as we all know, is well on his way to having that type of a where he's going to get paid here before long.
You did mention the story from Jane Slater. The report was that 32.5 mil was the Cowboys' offer. Lamb was at 34, and the Cowboys essentially capitulated to that today to get the number done. I do think, though, that as much static as maybe the Cowboys get for negotiating in the media, like once the stories are done, I don't know if we'll hear from their side. You know, that was obviously a player side report that Jane Slater got.
Right.
You know, I did hear, like, maybe it was 3 or 4 weeks ago that Lamb was asking for more than what Jefferson ultimately got, you know, and if you're number two and you're asking for 36 and the Cowboys are like, well, if you're going to ask for 36, we're going to ask for 32.5, and you ultimately end up settling it at $34 million. Did you not hear the same thing, Brian?
No, I was out, you know, and they're in Oxnard, and I appreciate every day we were there covering that thing. I was just, the thing that seemed to be the sticking point was the structure.
That four years is a huge number to look at.
It came down to $1.5 million, and I'm sure somebody will tell me that's BS, Brian. It's something else. But the thing about it was that, to me, it was like the structure. That was going to be the problem with that, that they were kind of going back and forth on that they were close on the number, but the structure, how many years, you know, all the different things, signing bonuses, all that. And, you know, they got it done. That's the most important thing. Hey, yeah. They got it done. Contract negotiations are not easy, and especially ones where guys are holding out the whole time. You know, that I just believed in my heart that CeeDee Lamb wasn't going to miss game checks. That's how I would have negotiated this thing. Like, okay, you think this is the number you want, but I'm going to sit there and I'm going to make you sweat this thing. And if you want to miss week one and forfeit $1 million, see, he was under contract. He was under contract for almost $18 million. This wasn't like something they had to, you know, to negotiate to make work. He was already under contract, so I would have tested his resolve.
Who do you think would have won in that battle? Let's say CeeDee Lamb.
I would have probably lost. I'd have probably,
as the team, you probably show up to Cleveland and you can't do anything against a great defense in Cleveland, and you score 10 points, and sure, CeeDee Lamb's like, ha ha.
You talk about it's going to be a tight game anyway.
It's going to be a low scoring game for sure.
But to me, I'm that way. I think that right then and there that there's certain players I think would, and I use the word dig in all the time. I think Dak Prescott's digging in, but I don't. CeeDee Lamb to me seems like, man, that's a lot of money for me not to be, you know, to be just walking away from. We've seen guys do that with Le'Veon Bell, mm-hmm, others never got that money back.
The Cowboys show you how much they love your celebrity and your star power and your ability to sell TV ratings and jerseys. They keep Zeke around. They keep Jason Witten around multiple seasons beyond viability as an NFL player because of the attraction of, you know, television and the relationship that the fans have developed with their favorite players.
I'll be interested to see if a better running back shows up on the waiver wire or one that they could get in trade. How committed they are committed right now to CeeDee Lamb and Dowdle. But if they add a
Zeke and Dowdle.
Yeah, if I feel like that if there was a better one there, I wouldn't be surprised they add somebody. I don't think they're going to go in this season and say, oh, for the first 4 or 5 weeks, if they can't run the ball. And you talk about how important it is to run the football for Dak, for Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
I don't see it. I could see them looking at this situation like they did with Amari Cooper. You know, hey, we can't throw the ball. Running back by committee is not good. You know, I don't think it's over for them looking at these running backs. I just don't. And so, but if they were to sit there and play with this group for 5 weeks and it doesn't work, well, then shame on them.
But my point is, though, that if you're willing to go there to keep a Zeke and a Jason Witten, if you're a star in its prime, there's no way that the Cowboys are going to let you walk. And that's what makes it impossible to negotiate.
I think that, to me, that Zeke's past the prime. Just, you know, that's just me.
Absolutely.
I just think he's, you know.
But when he was in the negotiations.
If you could guarantee me that Dowdle could stay healthy, I would have punted on Zeke. I just don't, you know. The thing about Zeke is he will show up. Yeah, but it might be at 3.5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
But he'll show up. If you had if Dowdle had Zeke's durability, I'd start Dowdle all day. He's the better of the backs.
Yeah.
So I don't think.
But the Cowboys are hiding Zeke in training camp, so he really can't be evaluated by the media.
He has
more value to them with people not like you tuning into a Sunday game and being like, oh, there's Zeke, and that makes them want to watch just a little bit more.
I think they want to watch to see if this team train wrecks though too. I think there's a lot of people out there that don't really. There's a lot of Cowboy fans that we've asked a lot of them. They're kind of to the point like, yeah, I'm not going to watch anymore. I'm not going to do this. Not going to do that. You know what? This is the first time in a long time I believe that. This is the first time in a long time I really believe that there are some hardcore Cowboy fans that'll say, please don't say anything bad about my team, and I'm not going to listen to you talk anymore. And then there's fans out there like, you know, hey, we're out. We're out on this. I mean, we might watch the game, but we're not going to invest in it like we've done for 20 years.
Well, I believe them right now. It'll be really interesting if they get hot and start 3, 4, 5, and 1, how much those people can resist the temptation to jump back on the wagon, because it's fun when it's cooking.
Yep.
Is CeeDee Lamb the best 88 to ever do it for the Cowboys?
Man, I'll tell you what. I've watched Drew Pearson play, and he was unbelievable. In a time where they grabbed receivers, they threw them on the ground, they chucked them at the line, they hit him in the head, all those things. Michael Irvin was damn good too when we competed against him in Green Bay.
He's the answer for this.
He is to me, that's the answer. I think Dez Bryant to me, it's unfortunate that, you know, his situation ended the way it did, because I think Dez Bryant had that type of ability to be the best one. But this kid right now, he gets better every year.
Yeah, I think it's between Lamb and Michael Irvin. But Michael Irvin has the thing that it's like, hey, big game, big moment, postseason. You're not going to see me pouting.
Nope.
You're going to see me from start to finish. Yep. I am going to be the reason why.
Yep.
I will will this thing. He's a one-of-one kind of dude.
He's an MF-er when it comes to that.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you got a postseason game right now. You want the playmaker, or do you want CeeDee Lamb? I'm sorry. I want the playmaker 10 times out of 10.
I can vouch for what you're saying.
He's a winner.
I can vouch for that. Yep.
Other stuff making news with the Cowboys today. Micah Parsons on the Edge podcast saying, don't give up on us, Cowboys Nation. It's going to be a great year. Mike Zimmer's here. He's become a big fan of your guy, Zim, Brian. He says he's going to be a great addition to this defense. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever been around.
Yeah.
This guy's just so articulate how he wants things done. I'm glad I've got this year to be with him. And I hope he's here next year. This could be a really special year, and I can't wait for you guys to witness this. How much does the injury to Deron Bland slow down the momentum of this defense? Because it is significant. I think it has a chance to be better than the one Dan Quinn had. But, man, that's tough relying on Diggs and Jordan Lewis and a rookie, isn't it?
Yeah, Carson's going to have to grow up real fast. And he was very competitive in the practices I watched. The Rams scrimmage part, the game, stuff like that, any opportunity that he got. Against the Raiders, against the Rams, it was really kind of poor initially because he really wasn't as aggressive as I've seen him play in practice. And then he makes a stop for a no gain or right around the line of scrimmage. And from that point on, everything about him flipped. It's like, I'm going to drive on the ball. I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to get my hands on this guy. You know, he's a guy that loves to be coached. You could tell Al Harris loves working with him. You can tell Zimmer loves working with him. He's going to have to grow up real fast, because what's going to happen is they're going to test him right off the jump. You know, we'll see. If the Browns can't throw the ball, good. If the Browns try and run the ball, good, because Carson will come up and tackle. You need guys on the corners that can come up and make plays. Yeah. And he's capable of doing that. He's a physical player. There might be some growing pains with him, but he is going to compete his ass off. And that's what you saw at Wake Forest, and that's what I saw in training camp with these practices and stuff. It's a big opportunity for him to have to step up and play.
Well, I'm happy that's what we're seeing with Carson. I wonder if we're seeing a push from the organization to sell that this team is good, that making the playoffs and 12 wins is good, and that's Micah Parsons coming along with Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy, who are selling the same thing in public. Jerry's out here saying nobody could be a better GM than bleeping me. You know, because I'm doing a great job. Mike McCarthy's out here. He answered a question about playing well in December and January. He says, we keep talking about playoffs and things like that, but I don't know when the hell it became easy to win 12 games in a season. So we really got to get back to winning week in and week out. He's talking about winning regular season games should be a reason for the fan base to get excited. But Micah Parsons saying, we're going to be great because we're going to go out and win 10 or 11 games and maybe win this division, and then I'm going to tell you, see, I told you we were going to be great. I think this is an organization that's run of being mediocre and telling fans that, hey, we're going for the Super Bowl has run out.
Sure.
What you were just saying, the credibility has run out, and now leadership on this team is trying to sell you a bill of goods on the front end. So when they go out there and maybe make the playoffs for a fourth year in a row, they'll be like, yeah, it's awesome. Aren't you guys excited? I don't think the fan base is buying it anymore.
No, they're not. They're not going to buy that. And they'll appreciate the fact if you find a way to win the division, you know, back to back, that hasn't happened in a long time. But the fan base is, it's going to be about, okay, where are you going in the first round of the playoffs? You're going to win the division. You get a home game. You might be the fourth seed. You might be the third seed. You know, if you
or can, like last year, you're the two seed
or the two seed. You know, you go down, you pee down your leg again, and all of a sudden, here we are. We're talking about the same damn thing. You know, now it's general manager has to hire a new coach likely. You know, people are not going to, you're just not going to sit there and, you know, Mike McCarthy is probably deserves a contract extension. I think if he was anywhere else in the league, he would have had a contract extension. But here, it's not, because exactly what you guys are talking about.
Speaking of peeing, this is what you call peeing on somebody and telling them it's raining.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think the fan base is up for that. I think this whole season depends on them getting in the playoffs and having success. If it's not there, then we're going to be talking about a completely different team, maybe a quarterback, maybe a head coach, at a lot of different positions.
Jerry had some epic quotes speaking of that. Maybe we'll get into more of that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. But right now it's time to go into that pimp cup.
We're loose. Here we go. Here we go.
That's LA Live.
Hey, brother, so you were out there at Cowboys training camp for the whole time.
Yes, sir.
When it first started, the story was, it's not a lot of fans out here.
Right.
Did it pick up at all?
No, not really.
Wow.
Not really. When the Rams came in and they had those practices and stuff, there were fans. The fans during the week were not as much as they've had in the past. The weekends were better. But from what I've lived through that, yeah. And, I think there's some of it, too, where that's kind of a situation. They have two teams in L.A. now. Maybe the Cowboy fan in L.A. that was kind of like just a fan, but now they've got their own teams. You know, they got the Rams there. They got the Chargers there. Maybe some of those fans are like, listen, I got my own local team. I don't have to pull for a team, you know, 1,200 miles away from me. I could pull for this team that's local here.
If that's the case, do we go back to like the San Antonio or Wichita Falls or something like that?
Man, I'll tell you what, I cannot imagine a better environment to practice football with. I think the players appreciate fans being in the stands, but I think the weather and the facility and all that is far, you know, let the fans be the fans. I mean, but to me, how you work, and you don't have to survive practice anywhere else in the country. Here in Wichita Falls, I mean, or excuse me, here in Oxnard, it's just about playing football. And that's so much easier than being in San Antonio or one of these places where you're having to survive the practice.
Makes me a little nervous because that's kind of bad for business, brother, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into a Monday-Friday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares. It's time you smoke.
Got some good smoke, too.
fire up this funk and let's have a toke.
It's called Blue Coffee. It's crazy.
Everything.
Blue Dolphin?
Blue Coffee.
We start at the top. Kenny in Quinlan. You're in the nation. What you drinking? What you thinking, buddy? Kenny.
What up?
What up?
What up?
Ken Doggy.
Oh, Kenny.
Can you hear me, Ken Dog?
In 1926, we had a time where they were lined up and people were taking ice cream bowls and making them into cones.
Mama brought it, Papa brought
it. Yeah. My hockey playing grandson.
Landon Maxson. Going to be in Chicago next weekend. Be at the flea market to raise funds for him. That's right.
Those kids have like their million mile flyers for American.
They're going to be on the Stars one day, though, guarantee it.
R.I.P. Kenny.
R.I.P.
I felt that little clip right there was so apropos. You know what I mean? It's like we're calling for Kenny. Hey, Kenny, where you at? Yeah. He's just not there. Mm-hmm. But he was there with us in spirit.
Us in spirit.
Yeah, bro. Ain't that crazy? It's crazy. That's what
so full of life, so young,
yeah.
In shape.
Come on, you know? Man. Love you, Kenny. Brandy LA Hicks. Live for Monday, August 26th. Yeah, August 26th, 2024. It is a Monday Friday here in LA Live. Shout out to the now broken up Dallas rap group, PPT, for the Monday Friday name. Feels like a Monday Friday. LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and the No Bill Guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. Let's see. Monday, Friday here in LA Live. Just some random things I've seen over the weekend on my timeline. But first, let's do G-Bag of the Day. Speaking of Kenny, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. And you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner is our guy, MVP of Tolos. He's got the gold jacket. Kenny and Quinlan. He called up during What You Drinking and What You Thinking, one of his favorite segments. He left us with a little joke.
Today, I want to tell you a story about my friend, the quarterback.
Okay.
He did a lot of things in his life, but in any case, he never swam the Jordan River.
Okay.
Local boy, played UNT, mm-hmm. played a little Canadian football.
All right.
I happened to see him one day a long time ago. He had his head down and he was real disappointed. And I said, what's wrong? He told me, he said, well, I'm going through a divorce. I said, what happened? He said, well, I picked this girl. She was my first draft choice. And I'm really, really disappointed. I thought she was a tight end, but I found out she was a wide receiver.
Uh-oh. Ring him up.
Ring him up.
Yeah. Dawson's a wild boy, bro. Yeah,
exactly.
Dawson's a wild dude. Oh, man. What happened? All right. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. Got some stories, some things I've seen on my timeline this weekend. What we have right here, folks, is some good old-fashioned self-snitching at its finest. Some self-snitching. We have a Detroit man. Detroit, what up, though? Got a Detroit man that was raided by the feds and charged by the feds. Tell you what this fool did. He went live on social media with a Glock switch.
Oh, no.
Glock switch. Totally illegal, that switch. You know, you've heard of the switch situations, right? It'll turn a regular gun into a damn Uzi.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Why shoot like that? Why shoot like that? It's pretty scary. I've heard him before, too.
Yeah,
he went on live with his switch. Cloud chasing or something else. He was screaming at his phone and rapping at his phone for all 21 of his viewers. This fool crashed out for 21 people on social media. 21 people, chasing but he crashed clout. Out for the clout. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Fed seen it. Did a clean sweep. Got the boy. Now he's going to be doing Fed time for self-snitching. For showing the Glock on Instagram Live. Be careful out here. Clout is a hell of a drug.
Serious jail time in the wrong state.
That is some serious jail time. I'm pretty sure the gun wasn't registered either. I'm just going to take a guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan. Y'all be careful out here. Don't chase the cloud, please. Did y'all see, now this happened, I seen the story last week, actually, but I did not get to get to it. 26 pairs of rare shoes were stolen from Penny Hardaway's crib.
No.
Why?
How are you going to steal some
fire.
Penny Hardaway's? Yes, rare shoes. Now, this happened on August 8th. A theft was reported at Penny Hardaway's house in Memphis. Camera footage showed the man pushing a shopping cart.
Wow.
But he had a shopping cart stacked with boxes, shoe boxes.
No
I'm
way.
Talking about he had to balance these joints on the sidewalk. It was so big. An arrest was made on August 22nd. Mr. Ronald James, 42 years old, was taken into custody by the Memphis Police Department. Inside those boxes were some of the rarest Nikes of all time. 26 pairs of one of one Nike foam posits.
Wow.
Made just for Penny.
Ooh.
Made just for Coach Penny. So I'm pretty sure he had like some Memphis ones and everything like that. Yeah. By the way, that was my first shoe like I ever broke big bread on. Those foam posits, blue ones when they first came out.
Legendary.
$300. They were like $280.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy expensive. For a teenager.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's my whole check.
No. I would say he must have lived in town, right?
I don't. I'm still trying to figure out how this guy figured. What do you mean, Penny living in?
Yeah, because how else would somebody have been walking by with a shopping cart?
That's what I've been trying to look at on all
and
these.
And then like inconspicuously make your escape.
And how you know that there's shoes in his box? Like how do you know this? Do you have a shopping cart and you know that there's shoes in here that are valuable?
Okay, I imagine, you know, you're a homeless guy, so you have your shopping cart for your day-to-day moving around town type of stuff. But every now and then you take your shopping cart out just for a little B&E, right? A little break and entering. Let's see what I got. Right? You just happen to go into Penny's house.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, and then you're like, oh, wow, I hit the jackpot here.
Yes, holy crap. This is perfect. He's got 20 pairs of shoes and I got an empty shopping cart.
Do you kind of feel like that maybe... I'm not saying inside job, but somebody in the household.
Somebody snitched somewhere or maybe driver. Maybe I don't know.
Driver, no, if it's an inside job, you pull up with a minivan and load those joints in the garage.
Housekeeper, somebody's saying, hey, man, this guy's got a lot of shoes. He's got a lot of shoes in the house.
Yeah, you're right. But if it was, shoes. I would get a better guy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the guy with the shopping cart and his shirt
no,
off.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If you were to do it the right way, you would probably have some inside information like, okay, we're going to have to carry boxes of shoes out of here. You know, let's like go Ocean's 11 on them and stuff. You know, have a plan for how we're going to get this thing out.
Happened to me, Southeast Portland, 33rd and Belmont. I was living right there. Homeless guy walked by with his shopping cart.
Yeah.
Went into my backyard, took a bunch of stuff.
Wow.
Come home and ex-wife tells me, hey, there's a guy who was doing shopping in our backyard. He went down that way. So I went a couple of blocks down the road. He was in somebody else's backyard. Yeah. And he comes back. I'm taking my stuff back. Little garden gnome, little sprinkler.
He stole the garden gnome?
Yeah. He was just getting random stuff.
My man was desperate.
Yeah. There was nothing good in my backyard.
Tolo right here says that they were left on the porch. Still.
The shoes were on the porch?
Dropped them off. FedEx maybe dropped them off on the porch.
Oh,
guy
wow.
had the
oh,
cart and was
oh,
like,
"Oh, there we go."
I'm gonna try to lick it.
Yeah,
yeah. The pirates are.
So he just took a risk, huh?
Yeah. You look at that. Oh, Beaverton, Oregon, huh? I wonder what this
big ass house. Yeah.
They're in my algorithm right now. The porch pirates are, and it is insane. They'll be following the FedEx driver.
Yeah,
and like getting into a fight.
Yes,
as the FedEx driver is walking away.
Yes,
with the other porch pirates.
Yes.
Oh, they got
two porch pirates fighting each other over a box right after the FedEx person walked off. Yes, bro. It is crazy out of here, man. They say the value could be anywhere of those shoes, $100,000 to up to $1 million.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's going to do some time.
I'd say.
Going to do some time for that kind of value out there. Also, I seen another little crazy story. Now, I don't talk much about this vibe on this station, but I got to tell you this one. 105.3 The Fan, Monday, Friday, LA Live. There was a Philadelphia rapper that was shot and killed on Friday.
I saw this, Lucius. Was this over a grave?
God bless him. Look, you know where I'm going, too.
I know,
this is the only reason why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
His name was Abdul Vix.
Yeah. This was weird.
YBC Duel was his name. YBC Duel. YBC stands for Young Bag Chasers.
Hmm.
Okay.
According to the police, Young Bag Chasers is a violent gang in West Philly with a lot of bodies. Yeah. A lot of alleged bodies. Yeah. Like this little, it's called drill rap. These little drill rappers, some of them are serial killers. Real talk. Yeah. Shout out to King Von and all the other stuff. These guys have bodies all over the city. Now they shoot anybody, moms, kids. They're really bad at it. I don't understand.
In the pursuit of getting bags, they're stealing
and they have ops. They're getting this guy back. Somebody says something slick to me online because a lot of them are online.
Okay.
And I'm going to go shoot this dude.
Ooh.
It's crazy. Okay. His fans call him Mr. Disrespectful, YBC Dole. He went viral, like Broadus was getting ready to say. Yeah. He went viral earlier this year for digging up one of his dead ops, dead enemy's grave.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
That's out extra. There digging up a grave. What?
He's out there with a shovel.
For the clout.
Yeah.
YBC Dole was the alleged leader of this Young Bad Chasers group. Jeez. Let's go to WPVI ABC 6 in Philadelphia for a little quick report on this one.
Breaking news. A shooting in North Philadelphia left a 9-year-old boy injured and a man dead, while a separate shooting left a local rapper dead who police say is affiliated with a known street group.
Chopper video shows that first scene around 3:30 on North 6th Street in Olney, a white Hyundai SUV held there as part of the investigation. Police say a 25-year-old man was killed after being shot in the chest and hand, but they are still working to find where the shooting happened. Sources ID him as Abdul Vicks, a rapper known as YBC Duel, affiliated with the West Philadelphia Young Bag Chasers, or YBC Gang. A short time later, just after 6, police say at least two shooters opened fire on a man walking on 12th near Fairmount in North Philadelphia. Chopper video shows police focusing on this gray Hyundai that was riddled with bullets. Police say the man ran into this vehicle seeking cover. Inside was a 9-year-old who was shot in the leg and another man who was uninjured. Both shooting victims and ran into a nearby home and were taken to the hospital from there.
It's unclear whether he knew the people in that vehicle or not. He ended up attracting gunfire to a vehicle that was sitting there with an adult male and a 9-year-old child. The 9-year-old child was then an unintended target of the shooting. Jeez. That car took quite a bit of gunfire.
They're just shooting at the car. They're trying to shoot at the dude.
Yeah.
The guy that dug up the grave situation. Yeah. But they're just shooting at the car. They see the kid back there. These people are insane. The video's out. It's on the timeline, too. He dug up a grave. Now he's in the grave.
That is the most insane murder story I think I've heard in a long time. I always wonder if the metal on a car can protect you from the bullets, or if you just got to miss the bullets.
I don't think it can.
No.
I think it goes right through it.
The only thing that's going to stop it is maybe the engine.
It may be.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I don't think it will.
It's just wild when those cars get shot up and the people are alive still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shoot it up a lot too, bro. That's a lot of shots. I see a lot of videos when they do go like try to assassinate you in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's 88 shots, 98 shots, 100 something shots because they got those switches. Whew. Wild stuff out here, man. Y'all be careful. Please do not chase the clout. I've seen a whole lot of clout chasing and it's ending up bad on the timeline this weekend. And before we go, I got something happy for you.
You do?
I do. I have something a little happy for you. AI has switched a metal song into a yacht rock song. Can you recognize this metal song?
Hey. Hey, hey. So your best little wife, don't forget my son, to include everyone. Tuck you in, warm within, keep you free from the sin, till the sand man.
Oh, this is Metallica, Exit Light. Here it comes.
Sleep with one eye open. Gripping your pillow tight. Exit Light.
Yeah.
Enter night.
Yay.
Take my hand. We're off
the Hitting it.
Never land. Yeah, that's some wild stuff right there, man. AI is wild.
Yes,
you are
sir.
Wild AI. All right, that's it for me. That's my time to flash in the light at me. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll be back tomorrow. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll holler.
There he goes. Four down, one to go. Chief, do we have some baseball to take care of?
We got to go around the bases. We also have to address the potential breaking Cowboys running back news that is really hot right now. So we'll have to talk about that. And then okay. We'll talk about Judge and Otani and the Rangers and all that next year in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.